Okay, admit it. Having the power to command fire to come down from heaven to consume those who annoy you would be kind of awesome. That person who cuts you off on 93 approaching the brain tree split. Zap. That mother at the bus stop who can't stop talking about the amazing accomplishments of her six-year-old. Zap. That coworker who never cleans the microwave after his frozen chili dogs explode all over it. Zap. The fantasy is hard to deny, and it's something we share with the occasionally hot-headed James and John. It was no accident Jesus nicknamed these two brotherly disciples the Sons of Thunder. And this morning's gospel is the perfect example of why. As they travel with Jesus, they encounter a town that does not receive their teacher and friend. Townspeople who fail to extend what the brothers would deem appropriate hospitality. James and John are indignant and rather comically ask, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" I mean, if you know anything about the Prince of Peace, you can be reasonably sure he won't agree to this. Raining down fire from heaven just isn't Jesus's way. He's not really a fire and brimstone, destroy everything in his path, scorched earth kind of guy. The way of love doesn't parallel the path of destruction. And we hear, not surprisingly, that Jesus rebukes them. He rebukes them for misunderstanding his entire approach to ministry. He rebukes them for seeking to bring judgment rather than healing. He rebukes them for their hair-brained inhumanity. And then he tells them to get back to work, to accompany him to another town where they can continue the work to which God has called them, the work of healing and sharing the good news of salvation, work that decidedly does not involve raining down fire upon people. So why would James and John say something so antithetical to the teachings of Jesus? And even if they thought it, where was their internal editor preventing them from giving voice to something so un-Christ-like? At one level, I think it's a misunderstanding of the concept of freedom. Sometimes we think freedom means doing whatever we want. That's the message we've been sold for a long time. Freedom to instill our values and way of life from sea to shining sea. Freedom to act in any way that feels good, regardless of the impact on those around us. Freedom to impose our will on the weak and vulnerable. Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, which we also just heard, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Jesus has removed our shackles of sin and the bondage of death, and that's good news for me, for you, for James, for John. But this freedom in Christ isn't a free for all. True freedom includes and evokes the yoke of Christ. It's not about doing whatever your heart desires, but following the desires of God's heart. And that means freedom within the context of love, compassion, and justice. It's not a freedom that elbows others out of the way, but a freedom that invites and includes. So James and John misunderstand what true freedom means. Yes, they have been set free through their relationship with Jesus Christ. They have tasted the bountiful fruit of the Spirit that Paul so eloquently highlights: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all of which make life worth living. The fruit of the Spirit is freedom. But here's the fatal flaw in their understanding. They believe that their close relationship with Jesus means the world, the entire world, will now bend to their every whim. We have the Son of God on our side. Disrespect us and pay the price. Like many in our current political climate, they embrace freedom as a means to reject those with whom they disagree, as a means to destroy those who do them harm, as a means to control those who misunderstand them. But what they fail to see, and what many in our own nation continue to misunderstand, is that freedom is not unilateral. Freedom allows for dissent and dialogue. It is not one-sided, but multilateral and multifaceted. And when we treat freedom as a commodity, as something to possess rather than to share, we end up intentionally raining fire down upon those in our midst. Now, unless you're Zeus, this fire is probably more metaphorical than literal. But we do this in so many ways. We do this with our social media posts. We do this when we exert our will on the less fortunate around us by ignoring issues of income inequality. We do this when we fail to take seriously the effects of climate change. We do this when we diminish the voices of women and people of color. The truth is, we rain down more fire on those around us than we think. And most of us could use the occasional rebuke from Jesus. I know I could. In a few days, we'll be celebrating our freedom on the 4th of July. Now, no town does the 4th of July quite like Hingham. The red, white, and blue lines on Main Street, the flags everywhere, the road race, which I'll be running again, presumably with some of you, the seemingly endless parade that goes right past the church. Then there's no better seat in town than right out on the front lawn, and I hope you can join us. The fireworks at the harbor. Oh, wait. Not this year. Was it too soon? Too soon, sorry. But as you think about the day and the constitutionally granted freedoms that we all enjoy here in America, I do encourage you to reflect upon the fullness of freedom in Jesus Christ. We call it Independence Day, but from a perspective of faith, maybe a better way to think about this is as Interdependence Day, because we are all connected. When we act or fail to act, this impacts those around us, especially those for whom freedom remains elusive. Paul continues by saying, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." True freedom is all about love. Raining down fire upon those with whom you disagree or who slighted you in some way probably doesn't qualify as loving your neighbor as yourself. The truth that is Jesus Christ will set us free. May we revel in this great freedom today, on the 4th of July, and on every single day.